Joe Tate, and I have a podcast that takes a look back at my sports broadcast career. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
It's another edition of the Over the Timeline podcast with Joe Tate, brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile from Hometown Dental in Seville. Andy Bulbarch, joined by Joe Tate. Joe, a pleasure as always, my friend. How are you today?
Good, Bull. And you and I have not chatted since you helped expand world population by one, and congratulations certainly in order to you and your wife.
I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you very much. Little guy made his debut just a couple of weeks into May, and so far so good. Knock on wood. Happy and healthy, and we certainly hope that that continues. Well, Joe, today I want to kind of take a look at what the Cavaliers were like the last year before the arrival of LeBron. I'm talking about the 2002-2003 Cleveland Cavaliers team that, well, things didn't go so well for. I mean, this was a team that went 17-65. There was a head coaching change halfway through the year as well. And there were a number of other things that kind of stood out about this team. Zydrunas Ilgauskas was 27 years old, and he played in 81 games. It was one of the better years of his career, and there was that incident with Ricky Davis when he tried to get himself a triple-double, too, so we will hit on all of that. But, you know, before we dive into some of the specifics, Joe, when you think about that 2002-2003 Cavaliers basketball team, what are some of the things that really stand out?
Well, not a whole heck of a lot, to tell you the truth. I think you've summed up all of the standout moments in 2002 and 3, because we were already in kind of the draft mode, because everyone was hoping against hope that the number one pick, which we felt we had a real shot at, would bring us LeBron James, not only because he was a great basketball player and proved to be even better than we anticipated, but also the fact that he was from our part of the world, and that whole thing would tie together into really a love-hate relationship that was fascinating to watch over the years.
It certainly was, and to get into more of the specifics with that team, they had back-to-back victories just once throughout the year. They endured a number of losing streaks, including a 15-gamer. Although it didn't start all that bad, Joe. I mean, the Cavaliers were 2-2 at the beginning of the year, but it was shortly after that 500 start where things really began to go south on that 15-game losing streak. If we can, I want to focus on the bench bosses of this team, John Lucas and Keith Smart. As you take a look back at those guys, obviously they had very interesting and pretty different careers, but when you think about those two head coaches, Keith Smart and John Lucas, what comes to mind?
Well, John Lucas was an adventure unto himself whenever we had to do the coaches show, because John, half the time, it was like talking to somebody from another planet, and he would just stop in the office to do the pregame show. You're never too quite sure what he's going to talk about, what he wants to talk about, what he's going to yell at you about. It was an adventure. John Lucas was an adventure, but I can say that most of the time, that was a very positive thing. He, because of his humor and his style, kind of help you get through some really rough road.
And I actually saw him not all that long ago. As a matter of fact, I believe he's an assistant with the Rockets, if I'm not mistaken, but he was at Quicken Loans Arena during the regular season before the coronavirus really held everything up. And it's interesting how guys like John Lucas are just lifers in the game of basketball. And of course, when you're looking at Keith Smart, he wasn't around real long. You know, he started the year as an assistant coach, but he didn't really stick around too long after that.
No, ironically, Gordon Gund called me in and asked me if I had any recommendations for head coach to replace John Lucas, because Keith Smart was in on an interim basis, and I suggested that he hire Keith Smart. But then again, he not always took my advice. I don't know whether it turned out to be good, bad, or otherwise, but I thought Keith Smart had the potential to be a very, very good coach, especially in terms of being a modern-day NBA coach, because I had grown up as a broadcaster with the likes of Bill Fitch, Tom Nosalke, George Karl, guys that were of an entirely different vein than, say, a Keith Smart, which I felt probably was better suited for the modern athlete. But I think, and Gordon was right on this one, he said, well, we've got a real possibility of having LeBron James, and do you think that Keith Smart would be the man to handle LeBron? Which I think was a fabulous question, and for which I did not really have an answer because I didn't know that much about LeBron. I knew he could play basketball very well, but, you know, as it turned out over the years, coaching LeBron turned out to be something you really had to do with a certain extra expertise. And whether Keith could have done it or not, I don't know. But, you know, they didn't always take my advice, so that's probably very wise.
Well, that particular season, we've talked about a lot of the struggles. There's a game that really kind of stood out. And we're going to play some of the highlights from that particular game. It was a lopsided victory over the Utah Jazz on March 16th. And this is a Utah Jazz team that had both Karl Malone and John Stockton. They were a little long in the tooth at the time, but they also had AK-47. Andre Kirilenko was on this team, too. So it was a very interesting team. First highlight I want to play is a three ball from Jermaine Jones, a guy who's kind of been forgotten about in Cavaliers history.
Parker drops it in to Stewart. Stewart under the basket, out to Jones. Right sideline three ball. Got it! Cavs up 95-73. Good pass by Michael Stewart, who was in deep doo-doo under the basket, managed to get it out for the three ball.
I was also just looking for an excuse to play a highlight that had Joe Tate saying deep doo-doo, too. So, but, Joe, when you look back at this game, this kind of stood out as one of those games that year that the Cavaliers won where maybe they weren't necessarily expected to win. We mentioned, you know, the major takeaway from this game, I think, for just about everybody. Again, we'll get to it with Ricky Davis trying to get the triple-double and went in a very bizarre way about getting it. But you look back at that game. You know, the Cavaliers beat a team with a couple of Hall of Famers on it, and of course, Jerry Sloan, the late Jerry Sloan, who recently passed away too. What are some things you remember about that game?
I don't remember anything about that game except Ricky Davis. No, that whole season was kind of a blur as we were just trying to tread water, get through it. The win over Utah was an aberration, because wins were few and far between, and to beat a quality team like Utah as easily as they did made no sense whatsoever. But then again, even on some of the worst teams that I broadcast for in Cavs history, they would rise up for no apparent reason whatsoever and beat somebody they had no business being on the same floor with. So that was one of those surprise games, and there weren't a lot of them, that's for sure.
Examining the roster, Joe, this was a very fascinating mix. We've talked about Ricky Davis. Zydrunas Ilgauskas was 27 years old at the time, and of course he was still trying to come back from that foot injury. That ended up being a very good year for him, as he ended up playing in 81 games, and that was the most amount of games he had played in quite a few years. It was also Carlos Boozer's rookie year with the Cavaliers, and it was one of only two seasons in Cleveland for Darius Miles, and there were at least kind of high hopes for him as well. Are there some other guys on that team that you remember? I mean, Milt Palacio, I know, was a name that popped up looking at some of the highlights of this team. Who were some of the real jokers or personalities on that team that you remember most?
Oh, tell you the truth, I don't remember a lot of them, tell you the truth. That was one of those seasons where we're just trying to get through it. And You know, I could give you the whole roster for the team that went 15-67 in season number one, but that's because I was a rookie as well, and everything was brand new. By the time we rolled around to 2002-03, that losing was something I was well aware of, and it certainly had a lot of experience in working through, because we were just headed for oblivion again with the hopes that down the road, LeBron James is going to come riding to the rescue and turn the franchise around. And, boy, if he had not, I don't know where we would have gone with the franchise. Tell you the truth, it was that crucial that we get him. There are those conspiracy theories or something people really enjoy, especially in this modern day and age. But there are those who feel maybe the Cavaliers had a little extra help in getting LeBron in the draft that year. I don't know. I certainly was not privy to it, but they got him, and that's all that mattered.
And the rest, as they see, is indeed history. All right, well, we are going to step aside and take a break. When we come back, we'll dive in a little bit more on Zydrunas Ilgauskas and the season he had, and also the infamous moment we keep referring to on this March 16th game between the Cavaliers and the Jazz back in 2003, where Ricky Davis tried to get himself a triple-double. That comes your way after these messages from Hometown Dental in Seville.
Hi, I'm Joe Tate, here to tell you about Hometown Dental in Seville. They're my dentist, and they want to be your dentist for life. Hometown Dental offers same-day and evening hours to fit your schedule. And in emergencies like a broken tooth, they can always fit you in. All PPO insurance is accepted, and new patients are welcome. Call Hometown Dental on Center Street in Seville, or online, visit hometowndentalseville.com. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Welcome back to the Over the Timeline podcast with Joe Tate, brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile from Hometown Dental in Seville. Andy Bulbarch and Joe Tate with you, taking a look at the final year for the Cavaliers before LeBron James came to town, the 2002-2003 Cavaliers. And, you know, Joe, as you and I have been talking for about the last 10 minutes, I distinctly remember a conversation that I had with you. It was over snail mail at first, and it was an invitation for you to come speak at the Bowling Green Radio Sports Organization banquet in the spring of 2003. And I believe our correspondence began somewhere at the Valentine's Day time of the year, so middle of February, and we invited you to come. And I think you mentioned at the time, well, based on the way things are going, I don't think I'll have to worry about calling any playoff basketball at the time. And then you mentioned, by all means, I believe I am in. And you came in, you told us some great stories. We had such a blast having you there. And I know at that time, the LeBron hype train was really full steam ahead, because the Cavaliers had the season that they had that year. We've talked about that record and how things kind of went south pretty quickly at 17-65. But there were some highlights along the way, and the game we keep referring to on March 16th against the Jazz was certainly one of those that stood out, because the Cavs won a game they weren't supposed to win. But Zydrunas Ilgauskas, this was a pretty big year for him, Joe, because at 27, the Cavaliers were still trying to figure out what they had in Z. The foot injury derailed his career, but he was on the comeback trail. And this season, Joe, he averaged just over 17 points a game, 7.5 boards as well. But more importantly, he played 81 games. You think that season in particular was kind of a turning point for Z?
Oh, without doubt. And in terms of my favorite Cavalier lifetime, the Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Danny Ferry share the top spot. Danny, because he was stuck into a situation whereby he was replacing Ron Harper, which is not true or fair, and he always delivered whatever he had on bad knees. And then you've got Zydrunas Ilgauskas, who, you know, went through enough foot surgery. In fact, I remember he told me when they finally got the last one done, he said the thing that bothers him the most is his foot doesn't feel like it's his foot anymore, that the sensation stops at the ankle, and periodically he has to look down and make sure the foot is still there. And he went out, and you pointed out, he played 81 games, and he battled. He only knew one way to play, and that was all out. And so that's why he and Danny are my two favorite Cavaliers lifetime.
And, of course, Z had a pretty profound effect on that March 16th victory over the Jazz in 2003.
Jermaine on the wing, drops it back to Z, right side, fires it, hits! Ilgauskas with 14. Cavaliers are shooting 60% for the field.
Well, as Joe mentioned a few moments ago, sometimes the Cavaliers just had a tendency to rise to the occasion. And, well, shooting 60% from the field, I'd say that's rising to the occasion. Well, another guy that we've talked about a lot over the last 15 minutes here certainly rose to the occasion himself, Joe, in this game. For, most of the game, it was all for good until the final few seconds of the game. It was not so good. Ricky Davis, of course, was a rebound away from getting a triple-double, and we've all seen the highlight by now where he shot at the wrong basket to get a triple-double. So give us an idea as to what's going through your mind as you're calling this.
Well, first of all, we're talking about Ricky Davis, and Ricky Davis could do about anything under the sun at any time, because he was that kind of a guy. You never knew really what was going to happen with Ricky. Occasionally he'd put together an awesome game. Then there were other games when he just didn't show up at all. And then there was this game where, in his own mind, and you have to realize we're talking about Ricky Davis' mind now, his chance for immortality as he saw it got down to the shot that was and was not.
Here's the highlight. Here's how it all went down.
6.1 second to go. Cavs ball, then Jermaine Jones will inbound it. Jermaine lobs the ball to Ricky Davis. He goes to the other end, put it off the rim, hangs on to the ball, comes up in the backcourt, and Deshaun Stevenson fouled him, and fouled him hard. Well, Deshaun Stevenson, who will never be in line for the Boy Scout Award, demonstrating that he is a little on the pithy side. I know what he was doing. He was going for the triple-double. Ricky was going to bang it off the rim and rebound it. They don't count it because he banged it off the rim at the wrong end. Now we have a discussion with the officials with 2 seconds to play in the ballgame as to whether or not Deshaun is going to get something more than just the personal foul.
Well, knowing what we know now about Deshaun Stevenson, it should be no surprise to anybody that he took exception to Ricky Davis's attempt at that triple-double. Now, Joe, one of the things I remember about that is after the game, they talked to Jerry Sloan, and Jerry Sloan's expression when it happened was total shock, as if he could not believe what he was seeing. And after the game, I think he defended Deshaun Stevenson, saying, look, I would have done the same thing. I believe his exact quote was, I would have knocked him on his ass. And I thought, you know, listening to that highlight, you weren't fazed one bit, almost as if, as you just mentioned moments ago, well, that's Ricky Davis, almost as if you weren't totally shocked by what you saw.
I'll tell you this, Bull. Ricky Davis had better thank the good Lord that it was Deshaun Stevenson that knocked him down rather than Jerry Sloan, because Sloan would have killed him, because Jerry was old school. And you pull a stunt like that, Sloan and Karl Malone, John Stockton, that team was loaded with hard-nosed guys. Why, they all probably would have had a shot at him if they'd really wanted to. It was ridiculous. And that was Ricky being Ricky.
And, of course, you know, the reason I cut that highlight out, I wanted everybody listening to realize just how little of the game was left. I mean, the last, 10 seconds of the game seemed like it took a half hour because of what went down there at the end. And, you know, again, I wanted everybody to listen to that, because you called that as if it was no huge deal at the beginning, almost as if you knew that was kind of a possibility, almost that, you know, in Ricky's mind it was, hey, this is the only chance I might get in my career to get one of these, and I'm going to take my best shot at it.
Yeah, it was my engineer there in Salt Lake City who was trying to call my attention to the fact that Ricky did what I knew what Ricky did. I know Ricky. And I figured, let's get it over with and get out of here. We got to win. And but then Deshaun Stevenson decided to turn it into a soap opera. And from that point forward, there was a lot of post-game rhetoric. And, it really kind of fit very nicely into that entire season.
Yes, and that was a season forgetful for many reasons, but it certainly had its highlights. And, you know, it's kind of like that before LeBron era, right? Some people think all the way back to some of the glory years of the late 80s, early 90s, and, you know, people kind of forget what this team looked like in the early 2000s before LeBron arrived. And, well, when he arrived, as you mentioned, everything kind of changed for the franchise. But I just wanted to take a look at this team, and, of course, that moment in particular where Ricky Davis did something that will forever be remembered in Cavaliers history, right, wrong, or indifferent. We'll let all of you listening decide that for yourselves. But what an interesting moment in the history of the franchise. Joe, as always, such a pleasure to sit down and talk to you. And even if that year was somewhat painful and comical at times, I'm sure it left you with a lot of memories.
Well, it did, and it was kind of fun to go back and think about it again in retrospect because, that season was a lot more down than up, and you happened to find a game where the team played up and Ricky was in outer space somewhere at the end of the game. It was all fitting and proper. All the pieces in the puzzle fit for that one.
No question about it. Well, Joe, a pleasure as always, my friend. We will catch up and do another one of these Over the Timeline podcasts soon.
All right, Andy. Thank you much.
Thank you, Joe. Again, that's Joe Tate on the Over the Timeline podcast brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile from Hometown Dental in Seville. For Joe Tate, this is Andy Bulbarch saying thank you again for tuning into the Over the Timeline podcast. We'll catch you next time.